welcome.
Hello.
Welcome, Michael, to a Papa's Basement, ironically hosted in your basement.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah. That's, it is my basement. It's my in-law suite.
Is it?
Yeah.
In-law
Don't
suite.
Don't ever call it a fucking basement.
I'm sorry that I disparaged the in-law suite.
But we are right next to the basement.
Okay. It's different.
Right.
It's different. So it's been about 3 weeks, I think, since the last episode, and I was content to just let that shit roll for a while because I don't make money off this.
You hear that, people?
Yeah, yeah. You get this for free, you fucking vampires.
Wow.
I've got those beat up mom titties, like by the third or fourth kid where the areola is just numb.
So you are just trying to turn me on.
I am, yeah. Right. I just want you to think of my polio string cheese nipples that have been just sucked until nothing can be sucked henceforth.
I love those stretch marks.
I enjoy the battering that a woman's body takes throughout
the
journey.
I enjoy the maturation process that a woman's body goes through.
You liken them to cheese, and they'd never appreciate that, but I'm always...
I tell them all the time, I was like, at least by my standards, like, you don't realize how much weight you never have to lose. In fact... Feel free to put on a few.
Yeah, you're like, have you ever seen a dog that had puppies too young and it just never snapped back?
I kind of like that.
Yeah, the pooch guy.
I get turned on by cottage cheese on the legs and the ass, like the dimples.
And mm-hmm. The cellulite.
Yeah, I like the stretch marks.
Okay.
I don't know if this is healthy. I think it is.
What does it bring up for you? That you like it? Because, I mean, just speaking as a man who's never, I've barely slept with MILFs.
Right.
I've never had a kid of my own. Like, just from that process, like, just from that perspective.
You know, it is like a, I think maybe a while back or something, like, I don't know. To me, it was just like, it's a woman.
Okay.
It's the characteristics of a woman, of a adult woman.
See, I'm more of that, like, very juvenile. My ideal body is you in your early 20s. Like, the tits are just perky and fierce.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
To all those ladies out there. That
to my audience, a really foxy 23-year-old.
But, you know what I've also never been a big fan of is the shaved under area.
I have literally been with one woman who had pubic hair.
Really?
Yeah.
To me, like, there's especially like when I'm usually there and I'm allowed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, there's something off to me about it. Now, do I complain about it? Is it something like, is, no, you know me, you've talked to me enough. It is far from a deal breaker, but
I've never heard of anything that has slowed you down sexually. Literally nothing.
I just find women attractive.
Yeah, you are. I've wondered this about myself, if I'm just not as, for, this isn't probably the most PC way to put it, maybe the most accurate, if I'm just not as straight as other people. Because I'm like, there's a lot of dudes that I know that, like, 2 a.m. rolls around and they're like, okay, time to fuck whatever I can stick my dick in at the bar.
I'm not that way.
No.
Sober, especially.
Yes.
But drunk, yeah.
What if I told you the name of the bar was Sags?
I would be like, I would have already known it by now.
Okay.
But you know, I am thinking of it. There was a formative turn for me, and I can remember. I think I was 25, and I remember kind of leaning into my buddy and saying something to the effect of, oh, I can't believe so-and-so is, I may have made reference to the girl's weight or something. And I just remember expecting him to kind of co-sign it.
Yes.
And he was just like, oh, that's what happens at, you know, our age or at that age or whatever. Like, just saying, like, hey, we don't stay kids or a teen.
Yeah, I can't. I see my own mortality in that shit way too much. That's why I'm on Propecia. Whatever I can do to be like, it's still 99.
And I think ever since then, I slowly was like, anytime I had that thought, I'd been like, I guess for me too, like, if that's where you live with your expectations, you're going to be mostly disappointed. So why not embrace what is natural and good? And I think over time, that has just evolved into like, yeah, let me see some fucking bush. I want the.
Do you want that 50s mom like happy trail as well?
I'm not like, you know, it's like, okay, slow down. Let's stop, you know, fertilizing this thing. But no, you know, it's like, you know, I'm just the young man that grew up on the porno mags I did. And that was, you know, like, I remember the first time that this is the thing that I think younger generations now and like even not too long ago, even maybe for people in their 20s, like I remember being as a kid and being like 10, 11 or whatever. And me and my friends getting together and making a war room kind of plan to find some like Playboy magazines of, you know, somebody's dad. But this one in particular was this one of my friends lived with he and his mom lived with this this other mother and her older son and daughter.
So like a lesbian couple or no?
No. It was like just one of the, I grew up in this townhouse neighborhood in the sticks in Maryland where it was like, I would just say middle class kind of thing where it's like they had room in their townhouse. So they took in like this mother and her son my age, which, you know, like, oh, they'll live, you know, downstairs and pay rent, and ended up being friends with them. And, you know, the guy now is, he's, you know, one of my all time best friends, Adam, but he had this, one of the guys that lived in that house was this guy named Jimmy, who was like at the time in his mid 20s, and he drove this Corvette. And I remember he brought it home once and he had just gotten the license plate from the DMV, got it personalized, and it said soiree. Which I remember at the time being like, what? And I heard him say that it meant party. But the one thing that stuck with me for years until I figured it out, he goes, I just never forget. He goes, yeah, they wouldn't let me put climax on there. And I was like, climax? What the? And so he had like this shed of porno mags. Like it was like a tool shed back, you know, behind all the.
I picture him driving the Corvette into the shed and then fucking the Corvette while putting the porn.
Oh,
on
no,
the
I mean, like where I lived, it was a road. It was a circular unit of townhouses.
Okay.
And the behind my row, you had your backyards and then you had woods.
Okay.
And he had like a tool shed. And I don't know, reconnaissance had brought back intel that there were Playboy magazines in there.
Okay.
And, you know, we made a plan and we got inside. I can't even remember who stole what, but we grabbed the stack and then we like took it probably, I don't know, 300 yards over to this like kind of open lot, and we started to open them, and they were not your traditional like Playboy kind of thing. It wasn't even like Penthouse or Hustler. I'm
below Hustler.
It was like foreign hardcore.
Really?
Like, yeah. I mean, it was. That was the first time I remember seeing like these women have no hair, but they were also all oiled, and they were like, I mean, there was
Was this a bodybuilding magazine?
No. This was hardcore European pornography, like people pissing on each other, which I know that at one point my one buddy was like, okay, I can't do this. And it was like, what are we looking at? But I feel
Penthouse always tried to bring that to the stage.
These magazines made like Penthouse and Hustler look like Ranger Rick. Just like it was hardcore. It was like this point where it was like,
I'm a child.
Yeah, I know. It was past the point of like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. It was like one of those moments when you're a kid where you're like, you know.
It's like Finding the Body and Stand By Me.
Right. It's like.
Just a delineation point in your innocence. I had this
feeling at any moment like the cops were going to show up.
Just a headshot takes out Jimmy.
Right. All of a sudden, I'm looking at my buddy, he's got a laser dot on his forehead. But, you know, it's funny, too, is like every once in a while around my neighborhood, like kids would find like Playboys and they'd steal them, and then they'd hide them like in bushes. And so some of these things, like after a while, you just knew
where it comes to porn. We have the brain of a magpie.
I know. We made little nests. But that was like half the fun was like the getting it. I mean, that's where I saw my first porno. Was the same house, the same guys, and
was it equally graphic?
Oh, it was. I'll never forget the title. It was called Sex Fifth Avenue.
Good word.
And I remember my buddy putting it in, and and I was like, at first I was
want that isolated.
At first I was like, oh wow. Like, this is way better than HBO, like, yeah. Bachelor Party kind of, you know, TNA
just the occasional
shot.
Tit, yeah.
But I do remember my first money shot, and that was when I was like, okay, you can turn it off. I wasn't even sure what I was looking at. I just remember thinking, like...
I have kindergarten tomorrow. Yeah.
Yep. So those are my first experience. So that's why I like pubic hair.
Okay. And that essay gets an A.
No, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Holy shit. I existed on that cusp, like where my first few years of desiring porn predated the internet, and then I was there for that light year leap.
Oh yeah.
I was literally that child where I was looking up porn. It's like, you must be 18 or older. And I went to X out, and my little brother was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yep, just yep. Do it. There is no mechanism here.
Oh, I remember when you first were able to like use dial up to get like some video.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was so much hotter. Not even the video, just the anticipation. Like, you would get all the thumbnails, and then you would just have to eyeball which you thought was best, because you couldn't just click willy-nilly. That was too much load
right,
time.
Right.
So you had to pick, like, one or two, and then you waited for them to slowly load up line by line.
Well, the same friend I was actually talking to you about that kind of changed my opinion on, like, just appreciation of women, he used to... I think at the time we lived near like an adult bookstore, mm-hmm. or we worked near one, and he would always talk about like how much he loved just the anticipation of walking in the store and walking out with something, which is now like, I guess if you're going to buy a toy of some kind, but like you walk in there now, it's like, why would I buy any of these DVDs?
Well, the entire store experience, I mean, that supplanted, I feel, the going to the theater experience where you communally were jerking off with each other. Like, what kind of weird homoerotic subtext was there?
That's like someone was talking about Fred Willard getting
caught.
Yeah,
it was just that. Yeah. Fred Willard and Pee Wee Herman are the two famous.
And people are like,
why
would you do that? And it's like,
he's an old, muscle memory took over.
Or
he's old.
Or it's just like, it's the same kind of, I think, impulse people have, just you want to do something kind of naughty.
I don't even know if it's just to him.
I couldn't do that with just like sitting in a seat with like some other dude next to me.
I mean, think about how much volume when you're doing it the way you want. Because I don't know how you like to jerk it, Michael. I enjoy a good Astroglide. That is my pick uno for lubes.
Yeah.
And none of these are silent. I mean, I guess Astroglide would be if I was just dribbling it on every fifth stroke. But then, like, underneath my seat, it would look like you'd turn a pizza upside down. It'd be a mess.
I've never been a lotion guy.
Really? Okay. I mean, I've gone both ways with it, but yeah, lotion's far superior.
I mean, I have no problem with it, but it's just like,
I've always been a believer if you do it without lotion, eventually you're going to just regrow your foreskin. Pushing it towards the tip so much.
No, I'm just I'm straight
good for you.
Straight saliva.
Okay. But never your
spit
own.
Spit on your hand and stroke my that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Please tell me you actually
use it. You know where I learned that from.
I don't know, which Scoutmaster.
I was like, oh, they do that on porn, so I guess that's what I'll do.
Oh, okay. There's always been very little saliva outside of blowjobs in my sex life. I remember one girl who didn't get all that wet, and I remember her doing the licking her hand like it was a giant stamp.
You guys could see what John's so she would lick her hand.
She would lick like the entirety of her hand,
like Ferris Bueller licking his palms to stay home from school.
Exactly that.
She goes, John, I know it's childish, but I lick my palms.
I love that film. And she would do that, and then do a couple of tugs on the bean. Not tugs, maybe just caresses.
That's a big bean.
Yeah, big giant lima of a clit.
Oh,
man.
I wonder how many people have already turned this off.
We've lost all of them.
Yeah.
This is for us. This is FUBA. This is FUBA.
That's fine. It's what I want to talk about.
Yeah. No, getting back to how I'm sexually wired, though, I am this weird dichotomy where I like to think that I'm not all that dude-like in that I very much need to be into someone.
Oh, yeah.
I feel
definitely.
To be turned on by them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it's just this average girl and she's in my lap out of nowhere, I'm kind of like, I'm not sure what the fuck to make of this exactly. And if it's someone who's not even particularly great looking, but we're friends and we're chill and has been flirty for a while, I want to fuck the shit out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just cool. But conversely, if a prostitute is hot enough, they can walk in the room and I'm just like, oh yeah, we're fucking
right. She's probably also looking at you going, oh yeah, we're fucking.
Yeah, exactly. sees the outline of 260 in my pocket.
And yeah. And I'm going on vacation much earlier than I thought.
Exactly.
I don't know. If at this point though, post separation, divorce-ish, in the way if I have a woman in my bed and she's touching me, I can get past the looks.
Okay.
I just hold me. Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it does help though. Yeah.
It helps a lot. Like for me,
you need to be.
Yeah. If I'm not
connected.
Fairly turned on, like I'm fat as shit. I clocked in my all time heaviest the other day at the doctor's. I'm not even going to fucking say it on air, 270. And I mean, I walked out of that doctor's office, and in a way I have not felt in years.
See, like, right
I was
now
like,
you look
I'm
good.
Going to
you
kill
look like
myself.
You've been working out and lifting, like you have been.
I had been, yeah, for about 3 weeks, and then it's this horrible.
I think you're getting on yourself too hard for
women not getting on me.
You,
that was
dude. Me. You look actually like you look like you've been working out.
Okay, well, thank you. Well,
yeah.
You
and that's
what
happens when you start working out is you gain a little weight and then you're going to burn it off when you just sustain it and the weather gets warmer.
I was just doing every fat man play because I went to the shrink about a week later. I've had a hell of a week and we're going to unpack it at some
point.
Okay. But it culminated. Oh, I shouldn't even say culminated, but it had yesterday visited a shrink, and I was so beat down because I'm seeing not one but two therapists to lose weight. And I have seen one for close to 2 years and one for like 6 months. And at a certain point, I walk in and I'm just like, I am fatter than ever, you bitch.
Did you say that?
No, no, but I felt it in my heart. Like right. At a certain point, I have in the past 2 years through therapy gotten so much more positive and rosy in my outlook and much more stable in my moods. The lows are not as low.
Yeah.
The highs are higher. But I was in that office like just a fucking comatose whale scowling. It resulted I got a hug in the end. That's how bad it was. My fucking therapist at the end goes, "Can I hug you?"
Nice.
And I was like, "Fuck yeah, you can."
Yeah, looks like.
Oh shit, this is the therapist that listens to the show.
But are you also taking into, is this like, I've been working out and lifting and I had different expectations for my
results.
It
just gets infuriating because it's always, the story of my working out is always like, hey, I've been at it for 10 weeks. The weight has stayed the same. And everyone's always like, well, then you've lost 10 pounds of fat and gained 10 pounds of muscle. And I'm always just like, can I lose fucking one more pound of fat?
Are you still wearing the same jeans?
I had to get fatter jeans.
Okay, there goes my next.
I had to get mildly fatter jeans for the holidays because I was like, I want to be able to eat in peace without my waistband cutting into me.
I think you just need to keep doing what you're doing.
I mean, I will. I'll get back to it. I've been derailed by a couple different incidents.
I would not look at the
scale.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at it so much harder now.
I mean, it's
it doesn't freak me out, said the man who admitted to wanting to kill himself because he hit 270. Now that the shock has occurred, I don't think it can get worse, but we'll find out. I mean, I eat horribly. Like,
Are you mixing in cardio?
Yeah, like I would. So my therapist was like a former, I guess it's shape model. I don't know what the fuck you call it. Like she lifted a lot, but
if
she was,
she's listening, you can call in, but no one's going to answer because this is pre-recorded.
Yeah. It's like that shit they put on at the beginning of On Point when it airs in rerun.
Oh.
Sorry. Talking about my local NPR, my NPWA.
Shape model?
I don't know. She used to like lift a lot, but also like bikini kind of crap, but she's pretty jacked too. I don't fucking know what it's called, man.
She's going to tell you the next time you guys
talk. Oh, it'll be rubbed in my face like a piece of cat shit on a stick because that's what people do. So I get like, she'll just send me routines and crap and be like, do this. And it's all this stuff where I know, dude, I know that I'm sabotaging myself just by diet. Just by diet. Like today I woke up, I had ramen. Then I ate at Taco Bell after 8 hours of not eating.
Right.
Then I went home to my home, where I haven't been in a while, just ate a bunch of Christmas cookies, and then I came to your house and ate two pieces of pizza. But I had a green smoothie in there, so I'm like, why isn't the weight tumbling off? I ate a handful of spinach with some dates.
Right. Yeah.
No, I'm just,
what you
I'm
continue
murdering
to it. Allow will continue.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I saw over the weekend. Someone posted.
Was it on a vanity plate on a Corvette?
The soiree.
Soiree. Let the soiree continue to continue.
But it spoke to me in different ways as far as like, I'm that same way with like writing comedy and writing and
oh, I'm horrible about that shit too. Yeah.
But, you know, there's something interesting. This is, would you say, like, this is the thing that you most want right now?
It's the thing I've most wanted since I was a child. Like, I was a fat child, and the only time in my life when I was in a shape that I was happy about, I fucked all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I was fucking a new girl on average maybe, like, every 6 to 8 weeks.
And
before apps, when that took effort.
You're talking physically, not financially.
Yeah. I fucked them out of their land.
So, yeah, I think some of this, and what's the name of your therapist, the one that shape model?
Tammy,
and I don't know if you're listening, but
Tamela.
Yeah, I feel like there's something there, like here with like you not letting yourself or not feeling like you deserve to reach your goal.
Oh, dude, I am just a very confused, sad soul. Right. At the end of the day, like I do whatever I can to push me in the direction of good things, but it's
my therapist, my old therapist used to call it the saboteur.
Yeah. Now I'm like a kid with a weak arm throwing a rock into the sky and being like, why isn't it breaking through the stratosphere? why isn't this rock in orbit? That's the strength of my efforts.
Which also, what are you saying? Like you're delusional?
That's, yeah, a strong enough kid can throw rocks into space. That's what I'm saying.
I was like, kid, if your arm was even, you know, much stronger than you think it needs to be, it's never going to happen.
I watched Nolan Ryan pitch. He took out Sputnik.
Okay. no, but, hey, keep going.
All right.
There you go.
Keep on keeping on.
What else did you write down for topics?
Dude, I have not done this show for 3 weeks because I have been in New York. I went to New York City, I think, 2 weekends ago with our friend Dawn.
Right.
Last weekend with good friend and listener Sarah Chambers.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And hello, Dawn.
And also, Michael would love to fuck the shit out of you, Sarah.
Really?
Yeah.
Have I seen her?
I don't know. You just would.
Really?
You would find the good, and you'd be like, this Rochester thing, I think I'm into it.
All right. This is Sarah up in Rochester?
This is Sarah in Rochester.
Sarah in Rochester. You're on with Bible's Basement.
That actually sounded like her DJ voice.
Oh, really?
This is Sarah in Rochester.
Does she do DJ?
No,
too?
But if there were
does
a
she
Sarah
do
in
DJ
Rochester,
too? Does she do DJ?
That's like half baby talk, half mobster.
or half like, yeah, or Cosby. I could. it sounds like Cosby's like second night in prison. I wonder how he's doing in prison.
Great. Thanks for asking.
Really, you called.
Just so. He is so centered right now.
From the Westchester County Prison.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So you went to Rochester, you went to New York City.
I'm trying to think what has
you
happened.
You saw some shows in New York City that you liked.
From
the Upright Citizen Brigade.
Upright Citizen. I won't even do it. Right. I don't. As I've gotten fatter, I've lost my ability to do voices.
Okay.
I could probably do a great Meatloaf and a great Ralphie May, but I have not attempted either.
Can you do a great Ralphie May Meatloaf?
Working on it. So I'm trying to think real fast. New York City, brother got into a bad car accident.
Right.
Rochester, been sick as fuck for a week, and now we're here.
And you're staying at the Holiday Inn Express.
And I have spent the last week in a fucking long stay hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
That is my brother's, and he busts into it at least once a day. And I'm like, the internet sucks here, and I am alone. You better start fucking knocking.
Yeah.
Or you are going to
see some
shit. I
didn't know that was a piece of it.
Oh, yeah. He'll just drop in for various needs, like things he's left there. Like he'll show up and be like, a fork, and just walk out. And I'm like, you are going to see my dick, my chubby little baby dick in hand.
So what did you think of New York?
New York was, at this point, I've talked about moving there so much, or at least trying it, that at this point it's just gotten sad, Michael. Like I just show up like this voyeur and I look in on this world that I want to be a part of.
Weren't you taking UCB classes?
I have to do my 301 in the next couple of months or I will be bumped down to 101. Because they are sticklers like that. Because it's like biology or chemistry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? if you do, if you step away too long, you'll just forget what yes and means. Shit. It's fucking money grab. I signed up for their shit last year when I thought my uncle was going to die, who's got like really bad Parkinson's, but I guess that takes a while to kill you. And I eventually dropped. I was like, look, I think my uncle's about to die. I kind of need to quit this class. And they're like, that's cool. You're paying the $35 dropout penalty, but cool. Have fun. And I was just like, the uncle dying thing not getting me right. My 35. Okay, cool. I will remember this.
Yeah.
So I took in a couple of UCB shows. I feel UCB has a couple. We stayed. Dawn and I watched from 7:30 p.m. till past midnight.
Wow.
And
that's some improv.
Yeah, I've never done that. And there's a couple shows that I'd recommend to everyone. And then as the night goes on, it gets looser and looser. You're like, yeah, all right. I paid $5 for this. Who gives a fuck? There are some shows at UCB, though, and some people who are famous in that community that I truly believe are some of the funniest minds out there. And they are not known for shit elsewhere. And it blows my mind. There's a dude, Connor Ratliff. You know Connor Ratliff.
Yeah.
Connor Ratliff is part of a team called Stepfathers every Friday night at 9 at their Hell's Kitchen Theater.
Mm-hmm.
He once a month gets into the character of George Lucas and does a George Lucas talk show where he interviews real people. So we saw him as George Lucas interviewing.
Does he sound like George Lucas?
He sounds like Connor Ratliff, I couldn't. I couldn't tell you really what George Lucas
is. Does he dress like him or something?
Yeah, he grays his beard. He grays his hair. Okay. It's fucking tight. And he does a show. I mean, there's nothing I look forward to more than seeing Stepfathers, except for podcasting with you, Michael.
Oh, I was like, where did that come from?
No, there's nothing as far as live entertainment for me that hits me like that shit. And yet these people, the instant they walk out of that theater, they are like nobody's in that city. Yeah. And it's so fucking bizarre to me.
You know, I think it'd be nice if they were like, well, you know what, but I'm rich.
Oh, that's, I got bad news on that front.
Oh, really?
Yeah. UCB loves to maintain this stance of, we don't pay our performers, so they feel free to say whatever on stage. Because if they were getting paid, they wouldn't feel... Because I know me, not making money, I feel free to say whatever. So
yeah, I mean, what are you going to pay them, though? You're not going to pay them a living wage.
Money? I don't know. I mean, you're right. I would like to think maybe $100 a week?
I don't know.
That could be nice. It's a couple grand a week for you, but apparently their margins are so shit.
Right.
I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. Like, a person hones their stand-up craft for years and years. They become a touring comic. That becomes their livelihood. Like,
there just isn't the demand for long-form improv like there is stand-up.
I guess not, except they sell out this bitch all the time.
Yeah. How much are tickets?
15. They're pretty cheap. Yeah. That's what they were thinking.
How many people does it seat in the theater?
About like 8,500.
Yeah. Jesus.
I'm not gonna eyeball it and say it's a couple hunch, man. Like, no joke.
Right.
It's not a small space. It's a decently sized fucking theater they took over in Hell's Kitchen.
So
by the way, Michael, hold the mic only like this because you're caressing the wire.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
So 200 people at $15 a ticket.
3,000.
Wow. You fucking...
As long as you phrase it as dollars, I can do the math really quick.
Yeah. If it were something important.
Yeah.
3,000. How many... And that's just one show, right?
Yeah, that's just one show. So their structure is, on the weekends at least, and they have two theaters. So it's like 7:30 show is $9. 9 p.m. show is, $14 plus $1.50 on the handling. The 10:30 in theory is that $15 as well, but the 10:30 show rarely sells out. So if you just sit after Stepfathers, they're like, just show us your stub and you can sit here for like $5. And you're like, right. Okay. It's like hobo style. You're like, well, like what you say, you know, put on your
and they
your
also
own
have
subway
a bar, right?
Yeah. So the Hell's Kitchen, you have to like exit the theater to hit the bar, and their other joint called Subculture, it's just in the back. Like you can literally sit at the bar and get shit faced if that's here.
So they might be bringing in what 10,000 Friday night.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. I don't know what they pay for monthly.
No, it in terms of the time that goes into doing that and the money, because it's not
classes,
like, yeah, it's not like stand up where it's mostly school of hard knock shit. You know what I mean? People might take a stand up class at the beginning, but really quickly you're taught just do open mics. Do open mics till you fucking can't stand them. And that'll be how you get into this. Improv isn't like that at all. It's years of classes before you're competent enough to take a stage and do anything of note. And you're still
unless
taking classes for
DC.
A long time. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't say that.
And you've mastered a craft that a lot of people will say it makes you better in some ways at everything. You become a better writer. You become a more decent person in a lot of ways. But it also is going to, unless you're hired into something that really isn't improv, there's no end game in improv that pays you.
Nope.
Like there's a propaganda video that airs at the beginning of every UCB show. And it's like, name all the UCB performers that were writers for like the Daily Show and who was in Stranger Things. None of them are like, hey, here's fucking Connor Ratliff. You're about to watch him do his shit live. He gets paid like a motherfucker. No, the entire line that improv sells you is get so good at this that other people who can pay you will hire you because we can give you nothing, my children.
Yeah, I mean, there is something like about though too with that experience you get on that stage and the confidence you get.
Yeah.
Is pretty priceless.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason you're so good at improv and you're also so good at fucking puss.
I'm trying to see the connection.
It's just confidence, man.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much they're making. I don't really fault them though either. But
no,
it's
not on, like you said. I don't think they can pay enough to make a difference in your bottom line. But if you're a fucking broke ass artist in New York, $400 a week would be pretty goddamn sweet.
Yeah, I do think they're if they could do that, that you know, yeah, that also be
no. I think their margins suck. They lost one of their two theaters for fuck's sake.
Right, right.
Like the one theater I mentioned that isn't in Hell's Kitchen, it's just a shared space that they take
and
over on weekends.
If everybody that gripes that just because they've been taking a class for so long and are able then to get themselves on a weekend show, you're going to water down your product, and pretty soon, I don't know how, like how long these. Some of these places might even be able to last. Sometimes I wonder if like improv is going to,
we're in the middle,
the bubble is going
to
burst.
We are like the infamous stand-up bubble of the 80s. We are there with improv right now. 100 unequivocal, 100%.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's not an art form that I love.
There is some real romper room shit that people are putting up as shows that should not even be advertised as more than a practice.
I like your disdain right now. You sound like George C. Scott.
Ebenezer.
I like how he eased into Nick Nolte for a George C. Scott.
I know. Yo! I love Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
Yo! Meow!
Yeah, man, but I was just yet again this tourist onto a life I tell myself I want. The hotel was the dirtiest shithole I've ever stayed
in.
It was in the Lower East Side.
Was it like shaped unevenly and like?
Yeah, one of the beds was like a queen and the other was a twin.
That's so funny.
And I'm trying to think of the highlights from the room. I could not find power sockets for my bed, so I pulled Dawn's bed away from the wall and found that it was covering a like Andre the Giant's fist size hole.
Oh, wow.
That they just left in the wall. What the fuck else happened? I lifted the mattress because you know how if there's like a ring of black crap around the margins of the underside of your mattress, it means bed bugs.
I never looked that deep.
I know. You're a fucking savage and nothing will ever happen to you. Like, you fuck and you live and nothing will ever happen to you. And a hooker one of these days is going to sneeze on my dick and I will be not even, I'll be full on AIDS status a week later.
Jesus.
So I lift up the mattress looking for this stuff and it was so fucking stained underneath with red shit, black shit, brown shit.
It sounds like a kid's book.
Yeah. Teaching us that we're all alike on the inside. And I put it back down because I was like, those are all horrific stains, yet none of them I think are bed bugs. But also, we're here and it's right. cold, so fuck it. So we did 2 days there. That was fun after a 6-hour bus ride into the city, which should have taken 4, and I wanted to die.
Wow.
And then I got home Sunday. Monday, my brother hits me up. Monday evening, he's like, hey, don't let mom overreact, but I got into a car crash and I broke my hand. And I'm like, oh, that sounds not good. You right. have a broken hand. Like, you drive a lot for work. You're a guitar teacher. Like, I was already like, fuck, that's not nice.
So, does he need a personal injury lawyer?
He does.
He should get one. He's got a case.
Yeah, except the dipshit who should have been suing for lost wages was working like 2 days after getting in this fucking accident.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he can do that.
I guess he still can. I mean, yeah. There were some lost wages, but like, God, let's be real. If it were you and me, we would be there with a little bell in our free hand, like just banking on 50K well, the, coming the one out on thing the back it, end of it.
The one thing that is difficult is like, if you were then to not work so you could accrue lost wages, you're going to have to wait for a settlement that might not come for a while.
Yeah.
You know, but if like he has a surgery and then he's not working. What?
You said a crew. And I said, not a crew, Motley Crew in my head.
If he wants to Motley Crew.
Vince Neil lawyer.
If he Molly Cruz his lost wages, he puts him in a syringe and stops his heart.
Dick, yeah.
So yeah, like, but after this surgery, if he does have to miss time, he can or any of the medicals that he's accruing.
Motley well, Crue. Oh my God, because his insurance stinks.
Yeah.
So I'm
does
like,
he have Medicare?
No, he somehow is the worst of all worlds, where it's like. It's not cheap, but it's bad. His insurance. He's managed to thread or that needle.
Medicaid?
I don't know. Yeah, the one that's not for old people. I gotcha.
Yeah.
The poor, not the old.
I just know everybody listening at home, Michael is a paralegal that specializes in personal injury. yeah, because they come after their money. And also for people listening.
Yeah.
In Virginia, I mean, basically, especially in Virginia, you're not going to get rich unless something like real bad happens. But you can get compensated and reimbursed for all your medical costs. But if your insurance is paying for it, and especially if it's Medicare, Medicaid, or TRICARE,
yeah.
They will get paid first before you ever get a dollar.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay, and Lord knows I'll take care of him if some shit hits the fan. But it sucks because my mom would get upset if he had texted and was like, I have a really bad hangnail. So yeah. I got the duty of being like, hey, don't freak out, but Will is in the hospital right now, and I'm thinking he's got a busted hand.
So he couldn't tell your mother?
No. So this is our fucked up family dynamic, which is going to be the centerpiece for our whole new, the next act of this podcast.
You're listening to act 2 of Papa's Basement, act 2. So, John,
the theater
brother,
lights have flicked up and down.
I was
yeah.
trying to do my Ira Glass. Right. Act 2. Of I don't know. I'm really close to the Cadbury egg
act
guy.
Act 2, I'm Ira Glass. yeah, I'm Batman.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I just like how he goes, act 2 of our show today. Act 2.
He's just, I remember he's so cool and okay with mentioning just how femme he is on air. And I'm just like,
oh, wait, you're talking about Ira Glass, not your brother.
Yeah, no, not my brother. My brother's all dick. Ira Glass, there was one episode where they're doing testosterone tests or something. He's like, no surprise, we're all very low. And I'm like, why are you cool with that?
Oh, right.
My God, man. Because that works in New York. You pretty much just have to be a lesbian with a floppy dick, yeah. And all the puss is yours, I guess. So, I get middlemaned. Because that is the family dynamic. Right. He hits me up to tell our mom, don't freak out, but he's in the hospital. He's like, would you drive her there? I'm like, dude, you're in the hospital. Of course. So I show up. He's in a sling. And like the broken, it's not a broken hand, it's a broken fucking forearm. Ooh. That one's covered in blood. The free hand is bloody because that got damaged too. And he's in so much pain because this apparently happened at like noon or some shit. And this is 5 p.m. Within the next 20 minutes of our arrival, he's like convulsing, like exorcist style on the bed. And I'm like, this is fun to take in. And again, that shouldn't be the shit hits the fan sometimes. But I'm just like, wow, I can't put myself in his position. You know what I mean? I can only think like, it kind of sucks for everyone. You know, like I feel so bad for him. Sucks to watch this. I feel powerless. My mom's freaking out.
Right.
So, I mean, the way it goes down, man, my white trash coping mechanisms, within about 20 minutes, I'm just like, I have to leave for a pack of smokes. Like, I haven't smoked in realistically, like, owned a pack in probably a year.
And if this was 50 years ago, you could just leave town.
Yeah, exactly. And just be like, oh, you raise him now, mother. Right. And just, I'd be gone.
Your brother left for a pack of smokes. And that was 3 years ago.
And how sweet that sounds. So I leave for whatever reason. I'm just like, I need cigarettes to cope with this shit. Because I'm like, this is just the tip of the shit iceberg for everyone. Like it's
shitberg.
It's going to shitberg. Yeah. Sounds like a bad town and also an evil rabbi.
I'm Maury Shitberg. And your family owes me money.
No, Maury. So I go out.
Okay.
I get my smokes. And I proceed to kill about a half pack in the next like 10 hours. Okay. Like I am just, because we're driving around my brother. He's knocked out for a while. He's screaming in the hospital bed. And like, I love him and I'm not going to tell anyone how the fuck to cope with their shit when they're that damaged, but he's a tightly wound dude. And I mean, he's just carrying on about how this is like the end of days. Like I can't drive. I can't do my job. He's screaming at the nurses in a way that I'm like, I'm not comfortable with this. Like, he's just like, I'm going to sue the fucking cunt that hit me over and over. I'm like, again, far be it for me to tell anyone how to cope in this situation, but I like to think I'd handle it with a little more stoic grace. I don't know.
You've never said something so Christian Slater. Far be it for
far
me.
Be
to tell anybody how to cope in this situation, but what did you say? The
Stoic Grace. That's my porn star name, Stoic Grace.
Stoic Grace. Until he comes.
So, yeah, he's just losing his shit. I mean, flipping the hell out. And I'm like, fuck, this is... I feel so bad for him, but this is going to have this is going to have a cascading effect on my life.
Right.
And I'm trying to think how it plays out the next couple of days. He is terrorizing my mom. So he's back at home. There's now three of us in this tiny shitbox of a house that is already filled in his room with the crap that he moved out of his place because he's between houses and now in a long stay hotel room. So some of that shit got moved by my mother and I into the
dining
room.
I just put this together. So he had been living in the extended stay.
Yes, where I am currently.
Oh, okay, got you. And I thought he ended up being like, you know what, John, since you feel like pushed out, I'll get you a room somewhere.
No, he was just like, hey, while I'm here, why don't you fuck off to the extended stay? And I was like, you don't have to tell me twice. But
okay, gotcha.
So they're both more cold-blooded than I am, not disposition-wise, just they like the heat up. So I was just spending a day or two sweating, packed in by objects everywhere.
Wow.
Listening to my brother screech. It was rough. Again, this is very selfish of me during this time. Well, okay, thank you. I don't think it's that selfish. No. You just say it's rough.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, it was tough.
Move
man.
Out.
Yeah, I'm currently enjoying those fruits. So I'm just within a couple days of the stress or having smoked that goddamn much in a couple of days, having been in a dirty ass hospital where everyone's barfing their lungs out.
Right.
I start to get sick as fuck in time for my trip to Rochester.
Right.
And I show up, Rochester. I'll give you a real quick summary. You've been to Richmond, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Richmond on a Great Lake.
Okay.
That's it. It's just a docile, chill ass city with bombed out industry. That's now been turned mostly into breweries.
And hipster kind of shit.
Hipster shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, this place used to make lumber and living wages. Now it has baristas.
Yeah, and like, artisanal pretzels.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of shit. Locally sourced cat litter.
Right.
So your shit, your cat shit on sand.
Get your pretzels at this place called Twisted.
Yeah. Come see our waiter's mustache. It has won the Greater Lakes competition.
We have free live music all day.
It's like I said, Greater Lakes. Yeah. It was just a lot of that. But like all the chicks were kind of like 6.5s, which made them really sexy.
So they were probably like 9s to me.
Yeah. You were like. You were like, look, I have to get you to stop shaving and I have to knock you up twice because you're just too intense for me right now.
Right.
You are Farrah Fawcett.
I really wonder what, like, if you're saying like they're 6.5s, I must be like, they gotta be higher.
I mean, you're.
They gotta have been hot.
They were fucking all fairly cute. Like, I mean, yeah. All of them.
I know what your fairly cute is, and I just always remember. Anytime you describe it that way, I'm like, God damn, John, you fucking got high standards.
Well, because it's the fucking defensive fat man nerd bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, she was okay. Whereas you, like a good looking dude, you're like, yeah, I just fucked her. Like, like and then, you know, on my deathbed, I'll be like, Michael had the right idea. No, I mean, yeah, you just fuck. And I didn't even fuck my last New York trip.
Were you supposed to?
I kind of debated it.
You mean to Rochester?
Not my Rochester trip. Like when I went to New York City. Where my brothel is.
Right.
Like I went.
Where my brothel is.
My good.
That almost sounds like an old memoir. Where my brothel is.
Home is where the brothel is.
I'll tell you where my brothel was.
No, I. So my brothel has a website. I will never get
what?
That shit.
That's crazy. What kind of marketing plan is that?
And about 4 days before my trip, I'm like, they're like, we'll approve you within 24 hours. Just hit us up and you can become a quote unquote member of the site. So I give my username, blah, blah, blah. There's a part where it's like, what website are you a part of? Like what disgusting prostitute review website are you a part of? And what is your handle? So I guess they can find you and be like, oh, he shit talk us so bad. We don't approve. So I gave them my username.
And he also stereotypes.
He was also grossly offensive.
Right.
And I just put for my username on the website, like, I don't use these websites, but I've visited you many times.
Right.
I don't hear back for like 8 days.
It could you have attached a photo of yourself?
Just me smiling. No, they had my phone number.
Right.
Like, they had my legit phone number. So I don't hear back, and I'm like, well, fuck you. You're not going to approve me? Because I thought it would just be, like, more photos on the site of the girls. And I'd be like, yeah, if I see any more photos, I'll get all fucking horned up. I want to do it. And instead, about 4 days, right before I go to Rochester, I get, like, an email. And it's like, you've been approved. And I'm like, all right.
I guess I'm driving through New York City.
On through the night. And I click, and it's like the hidden menu. Like, fucking, I shit you not. Like, oh God, what's the In-N-Out burger? It's like learning the In-N-Out. You've heard of In-N-Out's hidden menu. Like,
I haven't.
Zebra. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so In-N-Out, you're familiar with the burger chain on the West Coast?
Yeah.
It has a very famous hidden menu. Like, you can get all your burgers and fries cooked animal style, which means, like, I think for the burgers, like, mustard and onion is put on the patty or some bullshit. Doesn't even sound that wild, right?
Right.
And then you can order, like, your burgers to be 4x4s and 5x5s, which just means, like, that many patties with that much cheese.
Yeah. It's nothing compared to a brothel.
No, no. The brothel's hidden menu is far saucier, sir.
It's like somebody go, oh, you know what? This is just like In-N-Out Burger. They have a hidden menu, and if I wanted my patty stacked.
Yeah, I would like my patty stacked, my ladies, if you catch my drift. Wink, wink. And they're like, do you have $300? Oh, Brad Pitt's here.
That brothel is probably like, why does everyone talk about In-N-Out Burger every time we tell them about the secret menu?
And then they just go, ah, while smashing a gong for 30 minutes.
right.
That's what we want them to do.
And adding your total on their abacus.
I love these condoms. Where do you get them? They are made from a silkworm.
Are you two white men having fun down there?
So, dude, I got this fucking hidden menu, and I'm like, why in the fuck? Because I walked out of New York thinking, like, oh, I'm $260 richer. Pretty much.
Because right. You didn't spend it.
Because I didn't spend it on this hooker.
Right.
So I was just like buying shit when I got home. I was like, this is all hooker money.
Found money.
Ben Franklin had it right.
Right.
$260 not fucked away is $260 earned. So they send me the hidden menu. And the bad news, first of all. Yeah, sorry, Jim Fix. Bad news, it's up to $280 for the base charge. Whatever, I always tip some on top. Doesn't fucking matter to me. The options get real saucy real fast, sir.
Saucy or pissy?
yeah, that wasn't on the menu. That's on the hidden menu.
Right.
So $280, go up to $320.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of one girl for 1 hour, just girl A for 30, girl B for 30. For an additional $40, Michael.
Wow.
I believe you, $440 was girl A for 30 minutes, girl A and B for 30 minutes.
Okay.
And then $520, the real capper, was, I believe, girl A 30 minutes, girl A B combo 30 minutes, girl B 30 minutes.
Jeez.
And I mean.
That one seems kind of weird where it's like, you're like, hey, man, I'm doing the works. And then you're like with girl A. And then she's joined by girl B.
Mm-hmm.
And then girl A leaves and you're back to.
Back to just oneness. I don't like it.
I mean, how do you know you're going to click with girl B?
Well, because
what if you're like in the middle of it? Hey, you know, no, I know you just got here, but you got to go.
I want to say, like, girl B is not allowed in unless they know she's going to be a good match for your circadian rhythms.
Really? They're that scientific?
No. They're just like, you like your tits? Cool. Do your thing. You're like Tupac. Go on. Do your thing, boy.
No, I mean, like, Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that just sounds
40
like...
extra dollars to pork a second, bro.
Well, that one.
That's the game.
Yeah, that makes sense. The other stuff where it's like, and then she's going to come. Mm-hmm. This one will stay a while.
Yeah.
And then this one's going to go.
I hate that option. Yeah, I could see doing A30 and then AB for 30. That's okay as well.
Yeah.
But really, I just want A and B. I just want them to fucking high five like ships in the right. night.
Just, why are you leaving? I just paid extra so you could go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb Americans. Oh, trust me. This is a moneymaker.
I a kakura at my abacus. Horrible. God, you do such a good impression of me doing an offensive Asian accent.
I know, yeah.
Michael Johnson, not John Papagiorgio.
Well, there goes SNL.
Yeah.
He was doing... By the time I make my SNL audition, mm-hmm. when I get taken down for this podcast yeah. and being racial.
It'll literally just be me sending them the links, by the way.
No, I was just like, I just started like, I don't know. I was going to say like BuzzFeed's going to be like doing our, they'll, I never even.
That is such a good Nick Nolte.
Just never mind.
Okay.
I can't even get the words out.
Okay, man.
I'm sorry to the listeners at home.
It's like fucking 11 p.m. or something.
Yeah.
How are we still going? So, yeah, that Rochester was amazing because every place that isn't here is amazing, Michael.
Yeah.
Their rush hour is literally an hour, 5 to 6.
That's it.
You zip around the rest of the night. And even their rush hour is like us at 2 p.m. without hyperbole.
Really?
Yeah. Their road is somewhat dense. And my friend's like, this is fucking crazy. I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. Like,
I know.
It's hard to convey how shit our way of life is here. She's like, oh, yeah, they raised my rent $20 this year as I walk into her palatial one bedroom. Like, what is it up to? Oh, $735.
Jesus.
I fucking lost it. I mean...
My studio in D.C. back when I moved out, well, when I moved into it in 2009,
mm-hmm.
it was $900. And by the time I moved out of it in 2012, the rent had gone up to like $1,100. And I lived in what was called rent controlled.
Yeah.
Someone explain that one to me. Someone want to explain that one to me?
It's controlled by me, Rabbi Shitberg.
It's controlled by me, Mari Shitberg.
And now we won't work in
SNL. Yeah.
So, yeah, her place is easily the size of yours. Wow. Easily. And 10 minutes outside the city.
Yeah.
I mean, hop, skip, and a jump type shit.
Right.
7:35. Fucking... And the food is just fat upstate person
that you posted.
Okay. So
plate of potatoes and
yeah, the famed dish up there is called a garbage plate and it's served all over the place, like these different variations. But the main one, some Greek shithole diner called Nick Tahoe's, Nick patented this. And I'm like, well, A, he's Greek and B, he was the first one. So fuck yeah, we're going there. So garbage plate consists of a dinner plate, half cold mac salad, half home fries. You then pick a meat. You can get 2 cheeseburger patties, 2 like bisected hot dogs. That sounded so violent. Bisect the hot dog. Or 2, our friend Kevin Keefe told me about these. A thing called a white hot, which is like an uncured hot dog. So it's bizarrely white because it's not filled with nitrates and shit.
Huh.
And the casing kind of strips off it. So you've got like literal like sinew of intestine
oh, wow.
hanging off it as you eat it. Right. Like it's very much like a fat bratwurst eating people's sausage.
All I saw was one plate. There's two.
Yeah, those are two identical. Garbage plates. No, one had cheeseburgers and one had 2 white hots. And then... on top of that, you dump what's called red sauce, which is like just think like a chili mac almost, just fucking a meat sauce. Then put it back in your pants. Put it back, Michael. Put it. We laugh because we cannot understand.
All that you're describing to me, all I can think about is the bowel movement I'm going to have later. It's like, it's just, how do you get out of there without just like not just going straight to a toilet and just sitting?
I have not shit yet. That's how backed up I am. So then it's meat sauce and then mustard and then onions. And you get a side of like just Italian white bread.
What did the people look like that were also there?
They were hardy. They were built to stand a winter.
They were buffalo.
They were human snow tires. You couldn't buffet them easily.
I mean, really, the picture that you have, if you're not following Papa's Basement on Instagram,
yeah,
it looked like you were at a cafeteria. It looked like you were at a homeless kind of cafeteria.
Yeah, showing off the turkey I got.
Or like that you're like, I just fucking ripped off this soup kitchen and just piled it on. And I even took two plates. I mean, that's the presentation, the look.
I went to a Friendly's after hours and they let me have whatever I wanted out of the trash can.
It looked like, yeah, it looked like you were either at a soup kitchen or a Shoney's. This is like... I mean, there's
because I remind you of a fat friendly bear.
What
is that? Because I remind you of a fat friendly bear. Yes.
It just looked.
It's
like...
me. It's me. I'm so, Shoney B.
Did you eat it all?
Within 7 minutes.
Serious? Was it good?
It like you hear the ingredients aloud, and you're like, what kind of fat pig shit would get through all of that? First of all, you're listening to his podcast. Not only did I kill my plate, I had some off of my friend.
Wow.
I guess I traveled. I hadn't really had breakfast and I'd been on a plane for a while and shit, but that does not excuse how quickly I put easily 2,000 calories of food inside me.
Man.
And then after that, I was like, I need something sweet to settle my stomach. Just a little treat on top of this.
Did you go and then you went to the Nintendo Museum?
The Museum of Play.
Oh.
That's what it's called. And it's just nothing but video game shit. Like, it's the best museum I've ever been
to. You went 2 days in a row, right?
To the museum? No, yeah. I went one day.
I mean,
to the
museum. Just posted pictures.
Yeah,
like
I like
I was
to
like,
do that.
He's back.
Well, because I love to post random shit in my Insta story.
Right.
And so a lot of times, nothing's going on in my life. It's like, oh, I ate pizza over a sink and I masturbated and I opened a lock. Like, cool. You want to see that? So I'll just go through my my iPhone camera
that
roll.
That sounds like Winston Smith's 1984 like diary.
I thought you were going to say Winston's Churchill speech after they won the Battle of Britain. Right, we will masturbate over the sinks.
Just like, I ate a bunch of shit, I masturbated, and I picked a lock. I mean... Oh, hell, big
and he's
brother.
Over here like, what do you want from me? I'll post like random old photos and then people will just message me and they'll be like, are you in New York again? I'm like, no, this is from like summer of 2017, you know, but
that is actually a fun idea.
Yeah, it's great. It fucks with people's heads and it gives you, you know, Instagram story is the best thing ever because then it's just like, who was clicking through my shit? And any woman that you find desirous that did it, you're like, she clearly wants to gargle with my cum. But only after I eat a garbage plate.
I know. I knew I wanted to have his cock in my mouth after I saw him eat those two garbage plates.
The way he ate a macaroni and cheese covered in a white hot and without swallowing. No chewing, just unhinged his
Seriously,
jaw like a
you,
pelican.
You talking about this plates makes me have to go to the bathroom. We might have to pause.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you need me to massage?
No, I'm good.
Give it to me, Michael. Give it to your rabbi.
Rabbi Shitbug.
So that's the episode title, by the way. Except
Rabbi Shitberg.
I won't remember Rabbi Shitberg 30 seconds after we hit off.
Rabbi Shitberg garbage plate.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that is my whole name. My mother was Rebecca Shitplate. My dad was Wes Morris shitbag.
I love going to Rochester to eat the shit place.
Oh, God.
Nikita Who's shit plates.
Yeah, that's somebody that works at, what is it called? Nikito's?
Nick Tahoe, T-A-H-O-U, like I'm Papa Giorgio.
Someone that just started working there. It's like, hey, I need two shit plates. They're garbage plates. I know. I'm sorry. I just have it stuck in my head. I'll stop calling it a shit plate. I mean a garbage plate. Can I get my two shit plates?
God damn it, Carl. I need a shit plate on the fly. I need a shit plate extra runny.
Then what's his face starts calling it a shit plate. Oh my gosh, you got me doing it. Let's just change the name. What was his name? Nikki Tahoe?
Yeah, I like the Nikki. Nick Tahoe. T-A-H-O-U.
I keep wanting to call him Nikki.
Tahoe.
Is that even a Greek name?
I think because, I mean, it ends in O-U. Like, I've never seen a non-Greek name that was O-U. Mm. And the dumbest thing is I'll see other Greek names like that. And even though mine is just silent U, it's Papa Giorgio. Like, I'll see that and I'm like, how the fuck do they pronounce that shit?
Yeah, Nikki Tahoe.
Huh. It's got to be Tahoe, yeah. You all right there, buddy?
Yeah.
Jar something loose there, Tiger.
I think I did.
Cough up your ambergris. Let's get rich.
My what?
Your ambergris.
What's my ambergris?
It's something that you would find in the belly of whales back in the day. And
ambergris?
Yeah, it's like a big chunk of like yellow, hard, like amber-like. They use it in perfume. Yeah, like, it smells like both barfy and alluring.
Oh, nice.
Like a garbage plate.
Right.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. But if you find it, like, when a whale dies and it eventually washes up on the shore, right. Like, if you find a big chunk of ambergris, it's worth, like, thousands of dollars.
Really?
Man. Oh, it's expensive as shit. Like, it's some hidden ingredient in Chanel or whatever the fuck.
Here's what I want to do is I want to start finding beach whales and... Just kind of work and do my own thing.
Let's just do a business plan for that.
Ambergris.
Yeah.
I like ambergris.
Nick Tahoe's ambergris.
I came here because I thought I was going to get a shit plate.
What's this yellow stuff?
Yeah.
I can't stop eating it.
What is this, a snot plate?
fuck. Oh, hell.
Yeah.
Let's call it.
All right.
It's almost 11. What have I got to say? I've been alone in a hotel room for a week. Just
yeah, I don't
it.
Know. I got should I plug shows this weekend?
Oh, dude, please do you. There's
maybe
so much.
A dojo comedy
dojo
in
DC.
On the 21st at 6:30, the character show.
Okay. Do you want us to come?
If you want.
I mean, of course, Michael.
I actually got a, you know.
What day of the week is the 21st?
Saturday.
Saturday?
And then I got Chinese menu comedy.
I already have my tickets for that.
Oh, nice. That is, what, 7 o'clock at Adams Morgan on Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday night.
Sean Westfall, who you've heard on the show many times, is going to be there.
Okay.
He's back in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sean Westfall.
I know him.
And Pete Bergen, who I believe is too fucking good for the show,
yeah.
In his own words.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Fuck him. That not following back on Instagram, son of a bitch.
He's going to regret it one of these days.
He will. When I'm on SNL for 2 weeks before they hear the Rabbi Shitberg bit...
And then the following week, the 27th, Friday night, I'll be at the Maryland Ensemble Theater with Connor Gorman.
Ooh.
Improv. And
you always were an asshole, Gorman. Name that film. You can't because you don't have autism. It's Aliens.
Oh.
It's Vasquez's last line.
Oh, gotcha. 28th, I'll be in Richmond. 30th, I'll be in Arlington, both times with Sean.
Yeah,
Westfall,
a lot of
Sean
is back.
Maggles.
Shawn Michaels.
Follow me on Instagram at MikaelJohn.
That is Michael doing that voice. Please, please, Jewish gatekeepers of this industry, that was Michael doing that voice. Hire me still.
I wanted to just let everybody know that I've been going to Michael's shows for a while now.
Oh, my God. I will never work for Spike Lee now. Thank you.
I really think I have John's shit plate about to come through garbage plate.
I'm not leaving yet, so I will have my ear with a between a glass to the door, then my ear to the glass listening as you shit out the shit plate. And I'll be doing the rabbi shitbag voice.
Okay, well,
I love that bowl like
here it comes.
All right, so go see Michael. Again, Michael, what are all your handles again so they can follow you?
At Michael John, MikaelJohn, or it's MikaelLJohn.
I think there's a lot of Michael Eljohns. Eljohn Michael.
Something like that.
All right.
Something like that.
We're out of here.
Bye, everyone.